Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, hour number two. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We're talking with James, and he was mentioning his wife, and they are back with Longevity.
Yep.
And she got some numbers to tell you about.
Yes. Well, and again, we have a Filipino female, 39 years old, and
pre-diabetic.
So yes, there are things
with high cholesterol.
There are things we know we have to do with her just based on the radio call before I've even seen the lab work.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we do, especially with young women, is to follow their androgen, follow their testosterone levels very aggressively. Because they start dropping off in their late 20s to early 30s. So she's pushing 40. So I can predict that her testosterone load is going to be significantly down below where it used to be. And by raising that back up, we can cut her risk of developing breast cancer in later life dramatically.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because she does work out pretty hard and so forth. So,
yes. Well, at her age, we can probably cut her risk of getting breast cancer by over 90%. So these are things we really need to do. So we can, you know, we'll address her cardiovascular risk factors. We'll address her diabetes risk factors. We'll look at her cardiovascular tree. We'll look at her cancer risks. And our goal is, you know, when she's my age in her late 70s, to be lean, fit, happy, running around, having a great life with virtually no cardiovascular disease and no risk of breast cancer. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
That sounds good. All right. So I'm going to address my heart issue. That's the one I called on last week.
Yes.
Just to recap that real quick. You know, I started with you all. I've been on testosterone therapy anyway since like 2010, but I started with you all in fall of 22. And then we started that international travel and spent a lot of time in the Philippines. But you know, I left here fine. I'd had one of those. I don't know what the group is that goes around and does the arterial scans and EKGs and all that. I'd
Lifeline.
Done that, and that was all clear.
Yeah.
Lifeline. So I did a Lifeline before I went just to see, and that was all great. You know, getting to the Philippines, and, you know, just right about the time I turned 64 last February, and I was doing these high-intensity workouts, pushing my, before I did my weightlifting, I was pushing my heart rate up into 150s, probably for about 15 minutes, real steep incline stuff, and then push-pull sleds and all that. So anyway, I started having some kind of weird, I'd said that before, kind of weird heartbeat stuff, and it seemed like I was skipping beats, and just, I felt off. So I went and saw the doc. She listened to my heart for like a minute and a half. She said, yes, you're skipping beats here. Something's off. Go for the echocardiogram. Of course, this is more out in a provincial hospital, a good hospital at a university, but nothing like what's in Manila. My echo was a ejection rate of 48. So, of course, the cardiologist says, you need to go back to the U.S., and of course, this is a year ago. So 10 days later, I'm in St. Luke's up there in Manila, in the best hospital in the Philippines. And I ended up in the ER because I was having pretty significant chest pains, which ended up being diagnosed as costochondritis.
Good.
Nothing to do with my heart, because I did all the other blood tests. I didn't have any signs of a heart attack. Did an echo. My echo 10 days later was 61 on ejection fraction, which kind of threw me off. I said, this is just getting bizarre.
Maybe.
Usually
makes
don't have
me
that
think
kind of variation.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder about something like a viral myocarditis. But
yeah, could have been. And then, so did an angiogram a few days later. That's when that doc, the cardiologist up there said, yeah, you got about 45-50% blockage in your LAD. And I see kind of a forming aneurysm, kind of a kink type thing, like it was if you bend your finger at the knuckle, kind of like that, like it's getting pinched off. So he put me at moderate cardiovascular disease for that. And then so I came back. Dr. Bellingham said, I don't see quite that much, but maybe 35% blockage. Okay. And, of course, she's holding x-rays up to the light because that's what I came back with. And because everything in them is in the cloud. So sure. She was the one that said, I want you to come off the testosterone. And I told her, I'm just not going to do that. So I'm going to move on to a different cardiologist now that I'm back.
Right.
The only thing, so leap forward to this year, and the only thing I added, I was already on, the LMC medications or hormonal treatments or anything else. I added K2, and they put me on 20 milligrams of Lipitor, and then I added serrapeptase and natokinase to that. And so leap forward to March of this year, I did a CT scan back at St. Luke's, thoracic, aortic, and abdominal, and at least the radiologist is looking at it. And I know it's not the gold standard like an angiogram, but he said there is no aneurysm. There's no aneurysm forming. There's no, the tortuosity, kink noted. Blockage is very mild. He said you got some form of mild cardiovascular disease going on. Calcium score of 0.
Wow.
It's like everything had almost reversed. And I didn't really, like I said, other than those things I just told you I added to my vitamins and everything else. I didn't change my diet or anything else during that time. I backed off on the high intensity workout stuff. Still lift a lot, but I just don't do the, I don't jack my heart rate up into the 150s anymore.
Okay.
So I was kind of, I left there scratching my head because I don't, other than on the abdominal part too, there was no aneurysms anywhere, no aneurysm forming. I did have a cyst on my liver. And a thickened bladder wall.
Okay.
That was about it.
Well,
obviously, consider systems.
Okay, let me give you a couple of statistics here just for fun. Okay. First of all, men over 50, post viral pericarditis or myocarditis are relatively common problems. It doesn't usually happen while you've got the virus in your system, but for some reason, we develop an autoimmune process 4 to 6 weeks after we get a viral illness of some sort. And that costochondritis, that where the ribs join the sternum, that cartilage there getting inflamed for that period, that could be a mechanical inflammation because you were pushing really hard with the weights. But that could have been your first symptom of having the viral infection. And then that viral, post-viral pericarditis or myocarditis would probably be why your ejection fraction dropped.
No, it increased. It went from 48 to 60-something.
No, but it went down to 48 in the first place is my point.
But that was when he didn't have the viral myocarditis. Right. Were you sick at that time?
Well, remember, he had to get the evaluation for a reason. So he had a symptom. He got the evaluation.
I thought the costochondritis and the higher ejection fraction went together, and the lower ejection fraction was the first one.
Sort of. I had the 48 ejection fraction. I had some discomfort in my chest. But over those next 10 days or whatever, it got worse. So by the time I went to St. Luke's and then they did the echo and all the other blood tests, and it was 61, that day, that morning when I woke up, my chest was hurting the worst. I'm a sight sleeper. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it it was just it progressively got worse, even though the ejection fraction got better. So, but I was also vaccinated three times, so
maybe it's possible that the viral symptoms had started earlier. And were worse at that first visit.
Yeah, usually the symptoms come 4 to 6 weeks after the virus.
Sure. Yeah.
And it may have been a viral myocarditis that gave him the low ejection fraction. And then as that resolved, the ejection fraction improved again.
Yes.
Because at no point are we hearing a narrowing of his arteries.
No.
Sufficient to give him a drop in his ejection fraction.
No.
Okay.
No.
50% occlusion is not going to cause
completely
that.
Different.
You got to get up around 80-90%.
Yeah, that is a congestive heart failure or something.
That's right.
And then the other thing is the aneurysm. That is really curious.
That is curious. Yeah, but for interest, there's a fun study that we saw here, I guess, a year or two ago. And it was a study done on men with type 2 diabetes. Mm. And because men with type 2 diabetes have a very, very high risk of dying from cardiovascular disease.
Mm.
And so they looked at men that were on statins, which is what you're on now. They looked at men that were on testosterone. They looked at men that were, let's see, what was the other ones?
PDE5 inhibitors
for erectile disorders.
Yeah.
And it turns out statins lowered the risk men with none of those things, just the type 2 diabetes, had about a 30% chance of dying of cardiovascular disease during the study. About 30%. One in three died. The men on statins
alone
reduced the risk of dying by about
6 or 7%,
8%, that sort of range. So there was a statistically significant reduction in death, but it was modest.
Yeah.
Men on testosterone alone reduced the risk of dying by twice as much as the statin. Men on the PDE5 inhibitors reduced the risk twice as much as the men on testosterone. But the men on all three, if you were on a statin, testosterone, and a PDE5 inhibitor, you dropped your risk of dying from 30% to 2%.
Yep, great.
That's a dramatic.
I'm on all the above.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's what we do with our guys.
Yeah.
And it's not just the guys. I put the women on the same thing. I have women on the PDE5 inhibitors. I put the women on the testosterone, and those that have any symptoms, we'll put them on the statin too.
Yeah.
But at least the PDE5 inhibitors and the testosterone, virtually every woman, I think, should be on both of those.
Yeah.
Quick question on kidneys, because this came up. Like I said, there was a thorough CT scan. I'm just looking at it. He noted a mild left hydronephrosis.
Hydronephrosis?
Yeah, hydronephrosis probably.
Yes.
So
Okay.
So there's a partial obstruction to the ureter, so that the hydroureter is just saying that the urine is not flowing freely all the way down to the bladder. Something is kind of kinking that or obstructing it partway. So you've got some fluid buildup above that, a partial obstruction. So as long as you're not having pain, they'll probably just watch it. Okay, the music says we got to take another break,
my friend. James.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Back in a minute.
Back in a minute. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Get into the call queue, and we would love to talk with you. 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with Carrie and Eric in just a moment. Stay right there. Song for the show. Leading Edge Medicine, still standing, and that's what we want you to be doing. many years from now,
right,
by becoming a patient here at Longevity. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. Headed to the phones, if you've got a call or a question for the doctors, now is the time to get on. We've got room for you at 206-421-5757. Eric, we lost you. Call right back and we'll get you on. We're headed to Olympia right now.
Okay.
Carrie is on the line. Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Wasn't there a movie by that name?
Yeah.
Carrie?
Yes, but this is spelled differently. So.
Okay, good.
Oh. Hi there, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing today?
And it's Carrie Guy. It's a Carrie Guy, yeah.
Okay, good.
It's Carrie with a T.
Oh, that's right. I think we did that last time to you.
Carrie, we're not
okay.
Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah, because I thought Carrie was something about the girl that
burned
up the
prom.
Oh,
in the
movie, yeah. Anyway, okay.
Terry, welcome, and thank you for your patience.
How can we help today, Terry?
Yeah, so I'm a 66-year-old male. I per day 5-plus miles a day, but my body gets stiff after that period of time, usually after about 2 miles. So I can't bend over to really, like, tie my shoe. I have to place my foot on a wall or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to squat. And after about 30 minutes or so, I can do that. I can take a knee. I can do anything. But the body just stiffens up, and I'm not sure why.
Mm. Muscles get tight.
Well, also, you know, that genetic trait, the HLA-B27. If physical activity is making him stiff, then that's the opposite of normal.
Yep.
And in that case, you have to rule out some genetic issues. So the HLA-B27, Angspond, and those autoimmune diseases have to be ruled out.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm.
So
what's the first
course
of action?
Have you done your genetic screen?
No, I have not.
Okay. You know, the cheapest one... Although if you tell your doctor this and they're up to date like Dr. UMAT, maybe they'll run it for you under your insurance. The other alternative is just to go get your 23andMe. It's like, I don't know, $150 or something. And that is one of the many markers they screen for.
Mm-hmm.
It's the HLA-B27. So they'll tell you whether you are genetically predisposed for ankylosing spondylitis. That is these diseases in which things get stiff with physical activity.
I mean, it's not anything that you're doing.
It wouldn't be like arthritis that's developing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, it is. It's a genetically triggered form of arthritis.
It's an autoimmune condition, and it causes erosion and it causes stiffness. So erosion in the joints and joint space narrowing, and it causes stiffness. So it causes limitation of mobility. So things like bending your neck, bending your knee become harder and harder to do.
You know, the interesting thing is that normal people with the more common genetic profile, exercise warms the body, body temperature goes up, blood flow improves, and everything becomes more flexible.
Yeah.
And so you're able to have greater flexibility with exercise.
Right. That's actually what Dr. Mixon said is the biggest question. The first question is, do you get stiff with activity or does your stiffness get better with activity? So are you stiff first thing in the morning or are you stiff half an hour after you get up?
Right. If you're like me, you're stiff when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I do my stretch and bend and knock out my push-ups and do my squats and then I get out on the trail and I'm fine. I'm stiffest when I wake up because I haven't moved all night. People with an abnormal HLA-B27, they're just the opposite. And the more they exercise, the more physically active they are, the stiffer they get.
Mm. So you do want to know the diagnosis for sure. If you don't have that trait and you don't have any other difficulties or problems on imaging, because they should do some imaging for you, so I think go the traditional physical primary care provider or rheumatologist or specialist route, get the blood test done and get the investigations done, including imaging. If there's nothing wrong in there, then we can do other things like omega fish oils and curcumins and other things. But first find out if you have an underlying condition that is causing this problem for you.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds good. I had a couple of thoughts, though.
And one other, sorry to interrupt you, one other thought that comes and goes very quickly, but before it goes away again, let me say it out. In my practice, I have found that people who are prone to and have autoimmune diseases, even active ones like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or Angspond, they usually do very well with testosterone replacement therapy. And it's just something about the hormone that helps them maintain muscle mass. It's a healing and repair hormone. It helps maintain muscle more. It helps you, it prevents loss of muscle. And it maintains bone strength. And it prevents osteopenia and osteoporosis. It just is one of the basic things that I've learned over the years. It's really very good to do.
Well, and testosterone stimulates and rescues stem cells.
Yeah.
We've got very good evidence that the stem cells in the bone marrow are actually enhanced and increase in number with testosterone. But there's many of us that are suspicious that it also enhances the rest of the stem cells in your body because it allows you to grow lean tissue. So ligament, tendon, cartilage, muscle, all of these things are enhanced and grow better in people with robust testosterone levels. And it's not just a direct effect of the testosterone. The testosterone is actually working through the mechanism of rescuing your stem cells, which in other people, as testosterone levels drop and stem cells become less and less frequent and less active with age, we become less and less able to heal and repair. And so I think the stem cells are actually not just helping in the bone marrow, but I think they're helping stem cells everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Is that helpful for you, Terry?
Did you have another couple of thoughts you said?
Yeah, I had a couple of thoughts. That's I know you guys are always trying to innovate in your program and stuff like that, your radio program. I wish you had a way where you could text in an issue or a question that you might have. Like this morning, I was listening the first 2 hours and tried to call in. Of course, your phone system wasn't working.
Yes, we found that out at the end of the show.
We just thought people were not calling today. Yes.
It was driving us crazy.
We said, why is nobody calling? So we checked with the radio station. The engineer at the radio station tried to call in himself, and he couldn't get through.
Although we had one caller at the beginning of the show, and then after
and that was it. Yeah.
So something with the station's phone system died.
But I do like that texting idea, and I think once we get our audio and our visual going up, we might be able to bring that in.
Yeah,
we just don't want to lose the callers because we like interacting.
That's right. Yeah, the texts are not quite as interesting for us. But yeah, with as we go to a video show, where you know we'll be able to show the texts as they come in or the text commentary as they come in, then because we're going to be able to put this. This is going to be on YouTube. It's going to be basically on every social media outlet on the planet. I'm actually hiring a specialist in that who will chop up the show and put all the better calls into social media everywhere. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's the goal.
There you go.
But thank you for the call, sir. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for that, Terry.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Good luck, Terry.
I like that idea. All right. We are going to take another phone call here before we go to break. We have Eric on the line calling in from SeaTac. Hi, Eric. Thank you for waiting. Let's get your question, and then we'll take our break.
Yeah, I have a couple of guys. One's about 10 years older than Jerry, friends of mine, and he has severe problems with his hips. Played professional football, so he doesn't move around very well. Everything else about him is pretty good. What have you dealt with people that have severe mobility problems but are still on the longevity program? And the second guy is about 10 years younger, and he's talking about neuropathy, and he mentioned, I think he's got diabetes. How you said in the past that you guys are treating people pretty successfully for diabetes.
Oh, yes.
What can you say to those guys now? I'll pass it on.
Well, basically, we would evaluate them as individuals, see where that one person is doing, and then we'll do our best to get them strong, fast, lean, smart, and flexible.
There you go. Yeah, let's talk more about this.
Yeah. Come Eric, back from the commercial.
Yep, stay on the line, Eric, and we're going to talk about that and what longevity is doing to help reverse diabetes, because that can happen. You just got to catch it. Is that right? Got to get
it
and get things going. We're going to talk in depth about that in just a moment. Stay there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. If you've got a call, we've got room for a couple more. 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Ah! I feel good. feel good. I knew that I would not. So good.
So good.
We feel good.
Yes, we do.
Happy summer, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Leading Edge Medicine. Lynette here with you. And, oh, I'm waving. I'm practicing for when we're video. Yeah, there you go. I'll do the princess wave. Dr. Samira Umat here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're talking with Eric. Eric had questions about his two friends and what can longevity do for them.
Yeah, well, 80-some-year-old with stiff hips.
Yeah, yeah, the pro football player.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's probably beat the heck out of
those
head
man. Yeah,
and you know, football players in their later years tend to get heavy.
Yeah.
So you know, first thing I want to know is what is his body mass index? What is his percentage of body fat? Because that inflammation in those hips can be really tough. We'll do what we can to decrease the inflammation. We will, you know, shift his metabolism towards healing and repair. But I'd be very interested in getting some MRIs of those hips and see how much arthritic degeneration he's got. Mm. And because we may want to kick him over and let Dan, you know, harvest some stem cells out of his bone marrow and heal those hips, get rid of this, a lot of that arthritis. Because, you know, 80-some years old, that's probably going to be a big part of his pain symptom. But first you want to get him on the testosterone, because you want to stimulate the stem cells in his bone marrow so that when they harvest the stem cells to heal his hips, he's got better, more active stem cells to work with. Mm. You know, the younger guy, I forget what his issue was.
He was the one with the diabetes.
Type 2 diabetes.
And he's about 60,
yeah.
mid-60s
with type 2 diabetes.
And type 2 diabetes is right in the middle of our wheelhouse. We address that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, probably once you're over about 50 or 55 years old, I'm going to guess that 75 to 80% of the American population is either pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetic.
Yeah.
It's just horribly common. Those A1Cs 5, 7 to 6 something are just so common.
Right.
So what we need to do is to decrease the inflammation, get the stem cells, the healing improved, get more muscle mass so you're burning sugar even when they're sleeping, and you know, decrease their insulin resistance.
Right.
So that the sugars come down.
Right. And we do use the medications. There's no problem with that. Some of the medications, as we said earlier today, do help with longevity, but they also lower sugar levels. High sugar levels with high insulin levels are a risk factor. And so with him being diabetic, if he's on insulin, he is basically fighting the system, and he's getting medications that are going to make him obese, which will then increase his inflammation factors. So there's a lot that goes into the thought process of how do you treat this. But it is reversible.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. We've had people that were diabetic for 30 years and had progressed to the point that they were insulin dependent, and we were able to get their diabetes gone with no diabetes medicines of any kind.
Right.
So,
I mean, some come off of the insulin and stay on some oral hypoglycemics, which is fine. It's at least they're not on insulin anymore, and they're still our patients, but we're managing everything else for them.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
I'll
try to get in contact with you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Very good. And we are going to go to Phyllis. Phyllis is in Lake City. Before I go to Phyllis, let's give the phone number because we've got time for a couple more calls. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning. Good morning.
How can we help?
Well, you know, you were talking about the arteries. I have plaque in my arteries, and I was told that you can never reverse or shrink that.
They're wrong.
You can only keep it from growing larger.
Yeah, they're wrong.
And I am a member of Longevity Medical, and I am taking red yeast rice and natokinase. but I want to shrink that plaque, and I have it in both carotid arteries.
Okay.
So, what listening to you. I probably have it in other arteries too.
Almost.
And I'm a very I'm a very healthy person. Otherwise, I have absolutely no pain or anything. And I'm 90 years old, and you know, I'm just very flexible. I go to the gym almost every day.
Good and, for you.
So I want to get rid of this plaque because it's very dangerous. Mm.
Yes.
First of all, congratulations.
Yes,
you
way to go, Phyllis.
Amazing.
That's exactly what we want.
I love people
in their 90s are still hitting the gym every day.
Well, yes. Not only that, she's able to pick up the phone and give us a call and tell us, hey, help me fix this.
Yes, what are my next steps? Yes.
I don't want to be like that, right?
No, absolutely right.
Yeah, so congratulations, Phyllis. Well done. You go.
Yeah, so,
thank you.
You know, part of this is dietary, obviously. Very, very high fiber diets, you know, with the fats that are in your diet should be healthy fats, should have not the unhealthy fats.
Well, the reason you have the problem, Phyllis, is because you're 90 years old. And over the 90 years, you've done some damage to the vessels that have caused this problem.
Sure.
Some of it is reversible. Some of it, it may be too late right now, but I don't know how much, right? So if you certainly have some carotid vessel narrowing and they're watching you, obviously you have less than 75% narrowing. That's why they're just watching. Because if it was more than 75%, they would have done something about it.
They said less than 50%.
That's great. Yeah, that's wonderful. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, you've used those arteries for 90 years, and you've only got a 50% narrowing.
That's pretty amazing. Well.
Wonderful, yes.
I mean, here's the facts. When Dr. Ornish and other doctors have done the studies on reversing cardiovascular disease and atherosclerosis, most of the patients are in their 60s, 70s, a few up in the 80s. Almost nobody your age is in these studies. So when we talk about reversing these, we're extrapolating from what we can do with younger people in the expectation that we might be able to do it in people your age. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we don't have the proof because people your age, there's just not very many of them in the studies. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't know. So we know that in younger people, we can turn this around very efficiently. I think we can at least help get some improvement.
Or at least prevent it from getting worse. Yeah. Or slow down the rate at which it might get worse. But
let's shoot for reversing it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you don't try, you might fail. Or if you try, you might fail. If you don't try, you have failed.
Well, but she's already doing all of that because she's with us, right?
She is. Well, but then I'd want to review her diet a bit. I'd want to look and see how close, you know, to the Ornish sorts of diet she's actually on. So I'd like to get her a copy of The Spectrum, get her a copy of Reversing Heart Disease, let her read the books to start with and kind of make some notes.
Yeah.
And then sit down with her longevity doctor and kind of go over those notes and talk about, okay, as a practical matter, what can we do to improve what she's doing now, do it better, do it more efficiently?
Yeah. So, Phyllis, what Dr. Mixon is saying, that if you can get the book by Dr. Dean Ornish called The Spectrum and read that book, and then see how close you are to that protocol right now.
Yeah, make some notes as you go through. And then, you know, take that in and chat with your longevity doctor. And let's see what we can do to enhance it. In people that have made good health into their 90s, I've always kind of got a little bit torn. On the one hand, I want to help them live a long, robust, joy-filled life. On the other hand, I don't want to intervene so much that I make their life so miserable they start praying for an early death.
You know, some of my older patients will say to me, look, my diet and the glass of wine I drink every day is all I've got left to enjoy. Don't take it away from me.
Yes,
right?
And we're not going to.
No. We don't want to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always a balance. There's always more we could do, but at some point what we do gets in the way of enjoying your life. And so we have to find that balance for each individual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
diet is a factor.
Diet is definitely a factor.
I'm not a cook. I've never cooked. And I always ate, salads and things. I didn't have to cook.
Uh-huh.
But But I lost my appetite because last year I made a smoothie with vegetables that were oldish, kind of questionable.
Uh-oh.
And I drank a big glass of it, and I just crashed my biome.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
I didn't know. So after 3 months of that, you know, I went on to the internet, and I found out that I have what to do about that.
Okay.
So it took me many, many months to
rebuild
out.
It. Mm-hmm. Yes.
To rebuild it. So, but I still don't have a large appetite.
Okay. Well, and once more, you know, with age often comes decreased appetite. But we want to make mm-hmm. sure you're getting adequate nutrition, adequate protein load, and we want to make sure your growth factors are where they need to be so that you have the hormonal and the chemical triggers to grow new tissue. You know, my worry in a 90-year-old with a poor appetite is they may just kind of shrivel up and, you know, fade away on us, and we certainly don't want that.
No.
You know,
right. So will that book help me with the diet?
The book talks a lot about the diet.
It'll help with the vascular disease, mm-hmm. which is what we were
That's right.
Answering.
That's what we're, okay. yeah.
And you know what, Phyllis? Okay. I just looked it up, and it is available on Amazon right now, and it's almost half price. And you could, if you ordered it today, you'd get it in your house by Monday. It's only
$13.50.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
The Spectrum by
welcome.
Dean.
All right. You take care,
Dean
my
Dean Ornish. Okay. Thank you, Phyllis. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
With our last segment of the day.
That's right. We're going to talk more about diabetes and medications with Jim in just a moment. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back. Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon, and we are going to take another phone call here.
We are we?
We are. I think we've got one more because we said
All
goodbye
right.
to Phyllis.
All right.
Got a little distracted looking up football players online there.
Football hasn't started yet, okay?
Yeah,
We're getting ready for the Olympics
right
now.
She just likes to look at the players.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, Katie Ledecky made it to the final, so she'll be in the Olympics, which was no big surprise. We all knew that was going to happen.
Very good.
But it was
good.
Fun to see her. And then some other young swimmer was just chosen for her third Olympics, I think, or second. And then her boyfriend was there, and he proposed to her right there after the heat.
Oh.
It was so sweet to watch.
Oh.
So it's joking with her. Now there are two rings.
That's you know, right.
The Olympic rings and this ring.
And that ring.
That was very cute to watch.
Okay, one more call. We're headed to Shorecrest. And Jim on the line. Hi there, Jim. Welcome.
Hello, Jim. How can we help?
Yes, good morning. I'm calling about diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure.
Uh-huh. Well, they often go together.
Yeah. I just want to make a quick comment. You're talking about the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And I was on my national team for the Olympics a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, wow.
Which sport?
Yes.
I ran track.
Oh, you ran track.
Meters.
Oh, how nice.
Awesome.
And
I was on the national team for the 76 Olympics in Montreal, Canada.
Wow.
And the team for the 80 Olympics in Moscow. But then there were boycotts, so I actually did not get to run, so I didn't even talk about it. So.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, 76.
Well, we've only got about 7 minutes left in the show, so.
Yeah, ran with Bruce Jenner.
So what can I help you with?
You know, I take these medications, and I want to run them real quick, and I want to see if I can cut some of them off, okay? I take the medications, gabapentin, glipizide, lisinopril, hydrochlorothiazide, metformin, rosuvastatin, nitroglycerin, and then empagliflozin, and then metoprolol succinate. So all these medications, right? And they're just too many. And then they're not helping me out at all. My blood sugar is going up. And I've had a heart attack, have a stent. And my blood sugar, you know, it can come as low as 90. But lately, I enter into a lot of stress situations, and within about an hour, my blood sugar will go to 250, you know, from 90 to 250 in an hour. And because of stress situation, my question is, can I die from all these stress situations that is taking my blood sugar all the place? Because what is happening to me is not normal.
No, it is not normal.
It's not normal.
No, it is far from normal. You've got life-threatening conditions here, my friend.
Yeah.
Diabetes all by itself is a terrible systemic disease. And it sounds from your medications as though you've got angina, so you've got narrowed blood vessels, you've got paresthesias and neurologic symptoms from it. You've probably got elevated lipids and cholesterols. I mean, basically, that list of medicines you gave us just says this man is not only diabetic, he's developing complications of his diabetes all over his brain and body. You need some very, very aggressive care. You know, as the people on the radio that don't have all of your medical records and don't have your laboratory tests, and we can't tell you to stay on or stop any medication. What we can tell you is that, you know, if you really want us to do our best for you, you'd need to come in and become a patient, so that your doctor would work with you on an ongoing and very regular basis, because you've got several life-threatening problems.
Okay, I'll tell you right now. My full stamp, EBT was cut. Okay, I don't have my disability. The U.S. government will not give me my disability.
Okay.
All I get is $199 a month for my Social Security.
All right.
My green card has been taken from me. I can't get a job. Okay. Mm. And my kids send me money, and my bank account is closed. Okay.
Wow.
My life is in danger.
Yes,
and
your life is in danger.
Care. All right. So that's why I called, because all this stress is enough to kill me.
How many children do you have?
Look, I have four kids. Okay.
How old are they?
My kids are 37, 36.
Okay.
They make at least millions every year. My kids make millions every year, okay?
Yes.
Doc, you are saying that your kid is getting money from you, okay?
Yep. Well, she's only 12.
I'm not getting a penny from them. The U.S.
Yes.
government should be, you know, and that's what makes me sad. I have all these kids. They are Ivy League educated kids.
Yes, and this is the issue. You sound like you're depending on government for your care, but you've got children that make millions.
Mm.
And this is a serious family issue. This is not a governmental issue.
They send me money. They send me money, and my account was closed.
Yeah.
My kids want to pay so that I can get a place to stay. And they send me money to get an apartment, and the account was closed.
I can't help that,
so
obviously.
I have to live in a government housing. So they can do whatever they want to do to me anytime they want.
Where do your kids live?
Oh, my kids, London, they are running some big corporations in the world.
Okay.
I mean, look, I don't want to mention it, you know, it's their privacy. Okay.
Well, maybe so, but you what? You raised them; they're now responsible for you. I mean, you took care of them when they couldn't change their own pants, and you wiped their crappy little butts. And now you're having problem. You become their responsibility. Your kids should be sending you an airplane ticket so that you could fly to them, so that they could have an active role in taking care of their father when he's having trouble.
And you could live nearby.
That's
kids.
Right. You should be living next door to your children, and they should be helping to take care of you. You know, this should not be an issue for the taxpayers of America. This should be your children, because they're making the money taking care of it. I took care of my mother, you know, and when her last days, she had me as a backstop. Mm-hmm. And your kids should be your backstop at this point. But you know, there's nothing I can do about your family.
So. No, it's okay. Aww. It's okay.
Hey, Jim, I'm so sorry. Jim, we only have a minute left of our show, but
you know, they kick us off the air.
No problem.
Yes.
But
we're going to have to go. You can call us back on another day.
Sorry, Jim. The music says we are off the air here.
Yes, in just 45 seconds. Thank you. So many wonderful calls today. We will be back live in the studio next week. Leading Edge Medicine. Of course, you can contact us. Become a patient at Longevity. 3 locations for you. Kirkland, Tacoma, Linwood. And here is that phone number to call and become a part of it. Don't wait. Don't wait too long. We want you now. 866-86-YOUNG is the number to call. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also find out more about us and what we do. Go to lmclinic.com on the web. That's lmclinic.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back next week on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.